But thank you so much for coming this morning. It's lovely to see so many of you here, particularly if you're visiting us for the first time. My name's John Herring. I'm the assistant pastor at the church here. It's a real privilege to come up and speak after that wonderful performance. And thank you once again to the children. We're going to have a little think now, a bit more about that wonderful story that we've just seen so beautifully depicted by the children. But first of all, I wonder whether you've ever thought if Christmas could be summed up in a cracker. Now, would anybody like to come and pull the cracker with me? Well, Bo's hand was first up. So, do you want to come and have a go, Bo? Right then, are you good at this? Okay, right, you grab one end. I'll grab the other. Give it a... Whoa. Just, that's the last thing I need. Ah, you won! Okay, can you just show us what's inside there? What have you got? Excellent. Can anybody tell me what's one of these? Hey, what's this? It's a crown, isn't it? Excellent. So we get a crown. What else have we got? One of these. Brilliant. What's this? Anyone know what's on this piece of paper? Any guesses? People who've used crackers before? Yeah. A joke. Excellent. We might read that out in a minute. Anything else? I hope there is. Oh. I think these are cheap ones. Oh, I'll have a look for that for you later, Bo. I don't know what's happened to that. Anyway, what should there be? What else should there be in a cracker? Do you want to take a seat, Bo? Thank you. What else? You can take that. Absolutely, you can. Right. What else should we find in a cracker? Yeah, Josh, what else should we find in a cracker? A gift, yeah, a toy or something like that, shouldn't we? Those are the three things we expect to find in a cracker. We expect to find a joke, a crown, and a gift. Are you still looking for that gift, Bo? Oh, there it is. What is it? No? A lie, okay, lovely. Well, you can enjoy that at home. Those are the three things we expect to find in a cracker, aren't they? A joke, a gift, and a crown. And I wonder whether it's possible to sum up Christmas in those three things, a joke, a crown, and a gift, because I think it is. Every cracker has a joke in it, doesn't it? Every cracker has a joke. And you either love the joke or you hate the joke in the Christmas cracker. I don't know whether it's my age or whether I'm beginning to love those daddy jokes, but I've gone from hating them to loving them. Let me just share a few of my favourites with you. That one up there is a particular favourite. If you can't read it, what do you call a three-legged donkey? A wonky. You can keep that one. Okay, how about this one? What happens if you eat Christmas decorations? You know the answer. Yeah, Emma? Not Emma, Olivia. You get tinselitis. Good, we like that one. Good, okay. Why did the turkey cross the road? Yeah, you can't remember. What do you think it is? We've all forgotten all of a sudden, yeah? To get some movies? No, good guess. Because he wasn't a chicken. Not so good. How about this one? What do monkeys sing at Christmas? What a monkey sing at Christmas? Yeah, Bo? No, you're on the wrong lines, I'm afraid, yeah? Oh, good guess. No, it's jungle bells. Yeah. And wonderfully, actually, you've just pretty much summed it up. We either laugh out loud, we either give it a little smile maybe, or this is a kind of groan, non-reaction, isn't there? Recently, they did a study of 10 different careers, professions, and they tested the response to cracker jokes. And there were three reactions they were expecting. Did they laugh out loud? Did they smile? Or was there no reaction or a groan? Who thinks they can work out which profession laughed out loud the most? Any guesses? Which profession laughed out loud the most? Yet. Yeah. You think the teachers laughed out loud? They need a good joke sometimes. No, it wasn't the teachers. Yeah. Pardon? Lawyers. Yeah, they certainly need to have a laugh sometimes, but no, it wasn't them. Anyone else got any guesses? He's nailed it. It was the funeral directors. Who wants to see the laughing league table? Here we go. Funeral directors at the top laughed out loud. And vicars the least. I mean, who can blame them? By the time it gets to Christmas, they're exhausted. They're probably asleep in their starter. So there we go. That's your laughing league table. But you see, for many people, the joke at Christmas is God. He's just a joke. The Nativity story, it's lovely, you know, it's a little fairy tale that we enjoy, gives us maybe a nice little moral to think about. But really, God is just a joke. He's a delusion. He's a figment of our imagination. But you see, the Bible says actually, deep down, we all know and we all feel that God exists. Just by looking around at the created world, maybe it's the wonder of a newborn baby. Maybe it's the majesty of a sunlit sky. Or maybe the love of a human relationship. Or the complexity of a human cell. As we look at the creation, we can see God's hand in it. And in our hearts, we all have a longing for God. Because we were made by him and for him. But if God's creation is not enough evidence for us, the Bible tells us that he actually came down to reveal himself. And we've just seen that in the story there, but we read it in the Bible. Here's the beginning of John's gospel. John was a man who followed Jesus around, saw everything he did, and wrote it down. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. You see, the Word, that is God, became a man. And that's remarkable. As the carol once in Royal David City says, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. That is God born as a baby. So you see, some people might dismiss Jesus as just a joke. But the fact is, the fact that he was born has completely shaped our world. Who can tell me the date today? What's the date today? Anybody? Someone's looking at his watch. Ben's looking at his watch. Go on then, Ben. What's the date? It's the 17th of December. It's a Sunday. Anybody, what year? What year are we still in? Yeah? 2017. Yeah, 2017. That's right. So the calendar, something we live by, our date, is completely functions around when Jesus was born. Something clearly very important happened 2017 years ago that we are still talking about it here today, and our calendar is shaped by it. You see, this isn't just a story, but a fact. It isn't just a make-believe fairy tale fantasy, but it's history. It's an eyewitness account. Someone saw it, and someone wrote it down. So there's a man called John Carey, who's an emeritus professor of Oxford University. That basically means he's very clever. And he's a historian, and he said this: all knowledge of the past derives ultimately from people who can say, I was there. I was there. I saw it happen. Well, John, the writer of that gospel that we read about a minute ago, he was there. He walked with Jesus and he talked with Jesus. He watched him and listened to him. And then he wrote it down so that 2,000 years later we can read about it. And as he followed Jesus, who claimed to be God, he saw him prove it. And it shaped our world, as we've seen, ever since. So much so that we're talking about it today. We're talking about it and celebrating it nearly 2,000 years later. So the first thing we find in a cracker is a joke, but Jesus' birth is no joke. It's a fact. And we're celebrating it now, 2,000 years later. Second thing we've got, Bo's wearing it now, is the crown. Now, there's an American website recently entitled 10 Ways to British Up Your Christmas. Basically, for Americans who want to do things the British way. This is what it says about the crown in the cracker, because they don't have them, apparently. Everyone is a king at Christmas. Everyone is a king at Christmas. That's why we wear the crowns. We put them on because we want to say, we're the king. And that's kind of how we live our lives. And the Bible says that is precisely the problem. We all want to be king. But there's one true king, and that's God. The opening of John's gospel we read a little bit earlier told us that he created everything. He is the giver of life and light. He is the one who should really be wearing the crown. Then later on in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, someone says this. They said, we have found the Messiah. Does anybody know what the word Messiah or Christ, it's the same thing. Does anybody know what that means? What does the word Messiah or Christ mean? Some tentative hands. Josh, what do you think it means? Sort of. What are you wearing on your head? Yeah, well, so what might it mean? Ben? It does mean king. In fact, it means a little bit more than that. It means he is the anointed king, the one who would rescue God's people and rule over the eternal kingdom forever. It was the one that everyone was waiting for. Those wise men had read about it on their dusty scrolls, as Ben told us. They'd read about it. They knew everyone was awaiting that king. So when Jesus comes to earth, we know he is that king. But the problem is, we reject him as our king. We put ourselves at the center. We want to be the king. We're like a goldfish that jumps out of the bowl who's trying to get freedom. It's not good for us. It's not good for us to reject the king. It leaves us in a dreadful, dangerous state, just like that fish when it lands on the table next to it. We're away from God's loving rule when we walk away from him. And we remain this. If we remain this way, then God will give us what we want. He'll give us an eternity away from his loving rule, what the Bible calls hell. But that's where our next thing in the cracker is so helpful, the gift. Unfortunately, Bo didn't get one in the cracker, but I hope on your Christmas day you will get one in your cracker. The gift. The gift in the crackers that I get are normally pretty rubbish, and as I've seen, it's because I buy the cheap ones. I'll end up with that plastic frog or the useless oversized paperclip or something like that. But I don't know if you've come across these. Fortnum and Mason's crackers. £1,000 for a box of Fortnum and Mason's crackers. Now, since I clicked on the link to look at those, it's been coming up on the side of my stream ever since. I think Ruth's getting excited about our crackers this year. Sorry to upset you, Ruth. It's more like that. But £1,000 for a box of crackers. You get things I've never heard of. Halcyon Days bangles, Ettinger wallets, Drake's. I don't even know what they are, but clearly very expensive gifts. But Christmas is all about God's gift to us, the greatest gift ever given. And if you've read through John's Gospel, you get to chapter 3 and probably the most famous Bible verse that lots of us know very well. For God so loved the world that he gave a gift, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. God's present to us came wrapped up in a box, a baby lying in a manger. And I don't know if you've ever thought, well, what's so special about this baby? Why do I need that gift? That's an odd gift to get. How is that any better than a plastic frog or an oversized paperclip? Well, in this gift, God gives us exactly what we need. A way back to him. Jesus came into the world to rescue us from the darkness and danger and the mess that us trying to lead lives as kings ourselves leads to. He brings us back into a relationship with God that we can have and enjoy for all eternity. Now, I was watching this film with my children on Friday night, and in this film was a fantastic illustration of exactly what Jesus does for us. And we're going to watch a very short clip from it now, and you can watch the rest of it later.
Battalion, set.
Straighten that teddy bear, soldier.
Now.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's a ho, ho, ho. Field elves jingle. Jingle, jingle. Drop time 18.14 seconds per household.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you want to see the rest of it, you can borrow it off us. We've got the DVD. I think it's on Netflix as well, so go and catch it. But did you see what the elf did there? Some of you might have spotted it. He comes across a naughty child, doesn't he? Uh-oh. Naughty child equals no presents, no stocking. We're all a bit panicked about that, aren't we? But when he does that, he sees that the child is naughty on his scanner. He scanned him. What did he do? Did anyone see? He turned it on himself, didn't he? And scanned himself. And what was he? 82% nice. Just enough, thankfully. 82% nice. And then he fills the stocking with a present. So the child gets what he deserves, really, isn't it? And amazing, that is a lot like what Jesus does for us. It's a lot like what Jesus does for us. Because Jesus grew up as a baby into a young man who never, and it's unbelievable, he never did anything wrong. He was never naughty. He completely loved his Heavenly Father. He saw his Heavenly Father as king, and he lived under his rule perfectly. But then he grew up, and ultimately, the reason he came down to earth was to die. Because when Jesus, at the end of his life, died on the cross, he took all our sin, all our rejection of God as king, onto himself. And he gave his perfect life to all who believe in him. Just like that elf took on the naughtiness of that boy and gave him his niceness, that's what Jesus does for us. It's as if we have lived a perfect life when we trust in Jesus. Because we take on his perfect life and he takes on our naughtiness, our sin, our rejection of God as king. And that means that we can come back into relationship with God. And we can enjoy eternal life under his loving rule. And this eternal life begins now for the Christian. Because at the heart of eternal life, it's all about knowing God. It's about becoming part of his family, knowing him as Father. As we read again later on in John chapter 1, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the Christmas cracker, I think it really does take us to the heart of what Christmas is all about. Because in it, we are reminded that God is king. We're reminded that he is no joke. He is the ruler over the world. And his gift is that we can know him as a loving ruler for all eternity. And that is remarkable. That's what we're thinking about at Christmas. So as we close, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you would like to share that prayer with me, I'm going to put it up on the screen. You'll be able to read it. You can pray along with me in your heart, and then you can join in with an amen, a hearty amen at the end. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes and let's pray to the Heavenly Father, our King. Lord God, you are the creator and ruler of everything. We're sorry for having lived our life as if we were king. Thank you for your gift of Jesus, to die for our wrongdoing and to offer us eternal life with you. Please forgive us now and help us to live a life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.